Turn with me this morning to Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 16. If you don't know where Hosea is, it's the first minor prophet. Does that help? I'll give you a page number of 1100, but that wouldn't help you either. But you'll find it. It's right after Daniel. Little boy asked, "Dad, what is a backslider?" "Well, son, that's a man who leaves our church and goes to another." "But Dad, what do you call a man who leaves his church and joins ours?" "Well, he's a convert, son." The idea of backsliding, I've heard it all my life. I want you to know that that's not a common term used out into the world in general. It's a church word. When someone stops coming to church or they start doing some bad stuff, we say, "Well, they're just a backslider." Well, to someone unchurched, that there's a whole lot of different things that could mean. The idea of backsliding is mentioned quite a few times throughout the Bible. Sometimes it's mentioned as sliding, turning aside, turning back, falling, etc. And the word actually means what it sounds like. I mean, it's not too difficult to figure out. To backslide is to go backwards in your spiritual life. And so we see in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." I want to concentrate obviously on the first part. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. That's just a strange phrase, isn't it? We don't normally say a backsliding heifer. And we certainly are careful when we do these days. The backslider is like an ox that is double yoked or quadruple yoked. You know, how many's ever yoked together? They're physically yoked together. So when we say that we are yoked together, you can get the idea of a bunch of cows, and not us being the cows. Okay, I don't want anybody to take offense at that. But you're yoked. You're held together by a bond or a yoke. And so when we say that we're yoked together as a church, we understand what that means. And so both of the oxen are supposed to pull together. To do what? To pull whatever it is, the cart or whatever it is they're hauling. And so the oxen are to move forward, and together it makes it easier for that cart to move. Now, let's just suppose that me and Dan were yoked together and trying to pull something. And he is just to pull it, and I say, "You know, I'm tired. I think I'm going to stop. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to try going backwards." Now, he's going this way, and I'm trying to go backwards. Guess what the cart is doing? Well, it depends on who's stronger. But it's either not going anywhere or going really, really slow forward or going slow backwards. It's not accomplishing what it wants. And so we see the backsliding heifer, and all of a sudden, well, let's just put it this way. It doesn't even have to be going forward or back. But what if one of the oxen decides they want to go this way? It doesn't work. Something's going to have to give. And you end up going nowhere. Of course, this hinders not only the heifer's progress, but also the progress of the cart and the plow itself. Do you see how when we're yoked together, and one of us decides to go sideways or go backwards, how hard that can be for the rest of us trying to accomplish what God has in store, God has before of us. You see, Jesus said for us to take His what upon us? His yoke. And learn of Him. We are supposed to be laboring together for the cause of Christ while we're getting to know Him more. When one of us backslides, When one of us stops doing our part in praying and devotionals, giving, witnessing, showing up, the church suffers. And ultimately the cause of Christ suffers. And so this morning we'll be talking about backsliding. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot backslide. You're not even yoked. You're off wandering around on your own. So this is for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you have put on the mantle or put on the yoke of Christ upon you. And together, here at Olive Hill, we are laboring together, moving forward for the cause of Christ. Except there may be a few that are trying to go backwards. Few that are trying to go sideways. And it's hindering. And we'll be just like that hindering heifer that we see in Hosea. So I want to look at, you say, well, that's no good. You know, before we can fix a problem, we need to know what causes the problem. Normally, if you know what causes a problem, you can fix it. When I get to my vehicle and it's acting up, what's the first thing I want to know? What is wrong? And sometimes it's not easy figuring it out. But if I know what's wrong, I can replace the part. I can get it fixed if I want to. But I got to know what's wrong. So we got to figure out what causes us to backslide. The first thing I want to show you is that you're spending time with the wrong people. You're spending time with the wrong people. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." In 2 Kings 11:4, it said, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." In Proverbs 22:24-25, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." And then in Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do not tell me that the people you hang around do not influence you, because it's just not true. You become who you hang around. An alcoholic does not hang around at a bar. Not if they're wanting to recover. If you're a recovering alcoholic, you don't hang out at a bar. You don't. And if you're and if you have issues in life with all sorts of whatever it is, then guess what? You don't need to hang around people who have the same issues. It goes from addictions. It goes to whether or not I'm going to be coming to church. If you're hanging around a bunch of people who don't go to church, guess what? You'll end up not coming to church. Now, I'm not saying, the Bible teaches we become more like the people we spend time with. It is true. I can always tell when someone has spent a great deal of time with someone of a negative influence on. I can look at your Facebook post and tell you if you're going in the right direction or not, right? Because you're hanging around people that are not godly people. They do not put God in their life. A wise man once said, "A year from now, you'll be the same person you are today, except for the books you read and the people you meet." You can be changed. And that's the reason why it's so important to be around people who are believers, people that have the same goals in common, Do you realize when it says do not be unequally yoked, it's not talking about race. That is talking about whether or not you have God in your life or not. Don't go marry someone who's not a believer. You know why? Because you'll start acting like them. Every time. Not every time. Most of the time. Oh, how many times have I seen Christians who were truly devoted to the Lord let someone close to them distract them and cause them to backslide? I can almost predict it. I can see who a person's hanging around, and I can say, that is bad news, and I can see them sliding away from where God wants them to be because of who they're hanging around. I've seen it over and over again, and it saddens me because I can't tell them, boy, you need to get away from that person. You need to get away from that situation. Because they'll promptly tell me, mind my own business. You know what? I know you value them as friends. And you don't want to offend them by turning down their invitation to go places that you would not normally go. But I tell you something. If they know you're a Christian and they're asking you to go places that a Christian shouldn't be, I'm not too sure they're your friends to begin with. Asking you to compromise your beliefs. So, spending time with the wrong people. You say, well, isn't that kind of judgmental? Yes. If they're out doing drugs and they want you to do it, guess what? Don't be around them. That's just being smart. Because you'll end up going down that same path. And we see it in our churches by the compromises that they've made to the world and the associations that they've made. And all of a sudden they're confronted between what God says and what their friends say. I guarantee today it's all about their friends today, about what their friends think and about what their friends say. And if you think as an adult we don't do the same thing, you're foolish. We need to put God first and associate with those people that are godly people. That doesn't mean we can't be friends with them. It doesn't mean that we should don't stay away from me. I don't want to get no sin on me. That's silly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when they begin to influence you and you're spending time with people who are influencing you to do things that God did not want you to do. And there are some things about spending time in the wrong places, because it does matter what you see. These eyes are a porthole, an opening into your mind. What you see affects who you are and what you become. In Lamentations 3:51, it says, mine eye has affecteth my mind. My eye affecteth my heart. In Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Many people think that they can go to a movie or a beach and see these scantily clad men and women and say, it doesn't bother me a bit. Really? Really? Think about it. It does affect you. I remember not 25 years ago, and I saw the first bra commercial where the women wore the bra on the outside of and thought that was scandalous. Now I'm just appreciative that they're wearing something. My how time has changed. My how time has changed me. Be careful what you see. And I'm telling you, it is spiritually unhealthy to see things that you should not see. That's not intended to be seen. I'm here today to tell you it's spiritually healthy, and at worst, it's going to cause you to lust. It's going to cause you to not only after other people, but things of this life. That's the whole purpose of commercials, is to get you to buy something that you absolutely don't need. because you saw it, you want it. And it does matter what you hear. It does matter what you hear. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, you know what? The devil knows the scriptures too. He knows that he can affect people not only through the eye gate, but through the ears as well. Why do you think that he bombards us, especially today, with the language that we have to put up with? I mean, it is totally unbelievable, the language that you hear today. Kids walking around dropping. Well, I got to be careful. The way they talk, words they use. Now, guys, we used to use these words when we were kids, right? We'd get together and we used to say those. Now, there's all kinds of different. When we were kids, when no parents around, when there were no girls around, when it was just guys, we said some things that we probably didn't. Girls, you probably did too. I can't go there because I don't know. But I imagine you said things too out of the earshot, and you grew up and you realized that words meant something you didn't. And then all of a sudden, but kids today are using words in front of their parents, in front of everybody at school, at their teachers, that are just, it's insane. I know you never hear it at Walmart, do you? It's crazy. And after a while, your ears start getting immune to it and thinking, well, that's not a problem. You know, and you don't even realize how bad. What we hear changes the way that we think. Have you ever heard a little song, children's song, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go"? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. We, as adults, we would do well to remember those principles that even children understand. The places we go, the people we meet, the things we see, and the things that we hear all affect the inward man, which is directly linked to backsliding. You see, we begin to develop the wrong passions. The wrong passions. In Revelation 2:4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus spoke these words to a church that had the outward signs of spirituality. If you looked on the outside, it looked like they had it all together. They were correct in doctrine, and they were correct in practice, but they had left their honeymoon for Christ. In other words, the honeymoon was over. And this is the main cause of backsliding. Misplaced priorities concerning people and places that lead to declining passion for the Savior that bought you with His life and saved you from sin. What that means is that all of a sudden, on your heart, because of all this stuff you're seeing, places you're going, all of a sudden you don't feel that desire and passion for Christ as much as you did. Can you honestly say that you feel as much passion for Christ as you did when you were saved? Or at some point in time in your life when you were on fire for God, can you say that you're there now? Or has maybe it cooled off a little bit? Maybe you kind of put that in perspective. Other things you're desiring now in this life, other things you're putting as priorities. Would you rather watch television than spend a moment with God in prayer and Bible reading? Or would you rather go play some sport or watch some sport than be at your place of worship on Sunday morning? Would you rather for people at work not to know that you're a Christian? Well, they just don't need to know that. I don't really want to advertise that. All of these things, and many others, are signs that you're already in the process of backsliding. Get your passion back for God. Return to that first love you felt as a young Christian, and guess what? You'll be ready to charge hell with a wet rag. Yeah, I mean, we really need to get our passion back. We need to be passionate about the work of God. We need to be passionate about serving and worshiping Him. We need to be passionate about reading the Scriptures and prayer. But yet, too often, it's like it's Sunday morning. It's time to come to church. And that's the only time you ever think about God. If that's the case, then you are backslidden. And guess what? Without some intervention, you will remain backslidden. And here's the way backsliding works. The course of backsliding. Long before you ever get completely out of church or do something really sinful, you get backslidden in the heart. In Psalm 78, we see a nation that backslid time and time again. Over and over again. Look in Proverbs 14. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." So it begins in the heart. Not in the things that we do, but the heart. And after all these things that's inputting from the eyes and the ears and the place and your feet where they go, all these things that's being bombarded, our heart has been hardened and changed. And in verse 37, it tells us why they backslid so much. It says, "For their heart was not right with Him." Their heart wasn't right with God. Keep your heart right with God, for out of it are all the issues of life. Everything you do on the outward is influenced by what you do on the inside. And look what it says here. It fills every part of your life. Will be filled. Will be filled. Either you're going forward with God or you're going backward. You can't put it in neutral and say, "I'm just going to stay. I'm at a really good place here in my spiritual life, and I'm just going to stay here." If you think that you can stand still and everything be the same, you are actually going backwards. You cannot stay the same. You're either going forward or you're going backward. You either will get into more and more things that you should never do if you stall in your spiritual life. If you stay backslidden long enough, there may come a time when people will laugh at you if you try to tell them that you're a Christian. "You're a Christian?" "Well, yeah. You don't act like it." I could never tell. Lot did that. Lot did that, and he received the same reaction. "What? Yeah, you're not associated with that God." The Bible teaches that the path of backsliding gets progressively worse. It does not stay the same. You do not reach one certain level of backsliding and it stays the same. It gets worse and worse. Name one sin that you can do that never gets worse. "Just have one drink. I'll just have one cigarette." Whatever it is. Whatever it is, whatever your sin is, and you think, I can control it, I can moderate it, and I can keep it the same. No, it always gets worse. Over and over again. And whether you realize it or not, it does. And then the consequences. That's the course of it. It just gets worse. But the consequences of backsliding is, well, in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Be not deceived. His own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Everything we do will return to us. Have you ever heard the saying, "What goes around comes around"? Well, it's true. Some people say it's karma. I don't believe in karma, but I do believe that sometimes you know, God has a sense of humor, and what you reap, you will sow. If you backslide, you will hurt yourself spiritually. You will hurt your testimony with others. backsliddenness results in spiritual deadness. In Proverbs 14:12, it tells us about that. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. My ways seem good, but guess what? It is a way unto death. There's no good way when we're involved, when we our own ways we follow. So it hurts us to be full of our ways. And isn't that what backsliding truly is? Backsliding is where we say, I'm going to go my direction instead of the way God wants me to go. I'm going to try to turn, and I'm going to try to go this way, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anybody else, because I can do what I want. But those people that you're yoked up with, it does hurt. Look at the story of Jonah. Jonah, God told him something he didn't want to hear. He wanted to go, told him to go to Nineveh. So he says he took off and left. Got on a boat. He's all this time he's saying, this doesn't bother anybody but me. Well, it did. Those sailors on that boat, guess what happened? The boat, the waves came up. The sailors were scared for their life. And they said, well, what is going on? Who has caused the sea gods to get angry? That would be me. I'll just jump on over. It caused these heathen sailors, because of Jonah's backsliddenness, it caused them to put their lives in jeopardy. He figured it would have no effect on anyone. He was wrong. God sent a storm, affected everyone and everyone on that ship. Children. It affects children. Both physically and spiritually will be affected if you backslide. We don't realize sometimes the amazing influence we have over kids' lives. But people are watching us. Our kids are watching us. The people are looking to us to set the example will be hurt if we backslide. Some will be disappointed at us. Some will be discouraged by us. Some, unfortunately, will actually follow our lead. Do you see the importance of staying with Christ and not backsliding? Not getting to the point where everyone is looking at you. I'll never forget the day that I went out and I threw some gasoline on a fire, already existing fire. I know. I don't have to hear it. But I was out there, just trying to stoke it up a little bit. Next thing I know, I see little Caleb out there with a gas can heading towards the fire. Yeah, they're watching. Other people are watching your life. And if you think that it hurts no one else because I want to do this particular sin, I want to go this direction of my life and I could care less about what God says, I'll end up suffering the consequences. There will be consequences for others. You're not an island unto yourself. If they don't see us at church on Sunday night or Wednesday night, they may not see the importance of faithfulness to church. If they see us in the wrong places, it may be that they think it's all right for them to go there too. And then it's the church. Our church suffers when any members suffer. That's according to the Bible. When one member suffers, the rest. It says if anyone's spiritually sick, it's like a part of our bodies being sick. My knees hurt this morning, but you know what? My brain has been telling the rest of my body for hours that my knee hurts. My brain's just telling it. Your knee's hurting. Okay. Knee's hurting. And starts to make me physically ill because I got one part of my, and it can be a simple part of the body too. I had an ingrown toenail a few weeks ago, and I couldn't hardly move around. And it was causing me all kinds of discomfort. It was just a simple little thing. My brain wouldn't let it go. Well, a backslidden member hurts his or her church. You know, we are be the salt and the light of the world, of a dying world. Even if one backslidden member hinders our mission as salt and light bearers, it hurts our unity. It hurts our effectiveness. It hurts our services. And it hurts in every way. And I'd like to say, it pains me as your pastor when I realize that we have so many members who are backslidden. They just turned away. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just looking at the facts. All these things we've talked about, they're heading down that path. It's like you see it, and I see it, and I know where it leads. They're hanging around people they shouldn't. They're going places they shouldn't. They're saying things. They stop coming and worshiping the Lord. There are all these things, and I see this where it eventually will lead. And there's nothing I can do except say, stop! Stop going that direction! But they just keep going as if there's nothing wrong. And then there's that cliff at the end. What do we do? You know, it's not because I care about how many we have in church or what our offerings are like or how even effective we are, but it's because I hate what they're doing to themselves and to the lambs that and the oxen that they're yoked upon in this church. Satan has got a hold. And this morning I want every one of us to evaluate our lives and say, well, those people, they just need to get right with God. Well, you know what? They probably do. But that's not my problem. You know what my problem is? Me. I got to make sure that I'm not backsliding. I got to make sure, and you're just following me. And you got to do the same thing. Evaluate your life. Are you where you're supposed to be? And that's the only thing that you can control. Are we indeed backslidden in the heart? Has it progressed to a point that we don't care who it affects and what people think about our actions? Well, I just don't care what they think. Me and God's got this deal. It'll be all right, right? He'll forgive me, that's all right. I'll just head this direction. As long as I don't go past this line, it'll be fine. Well, guess what? We keep moving the line. And if you're saved this morning, but backslidden, you know what the answer is? The answer is come to Jesus. He is always the answer. Get on your knees and beg for forgiveness and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I'm going to stop following this world. I'm going to stop following these people. I'm going to stop seeing these things. I'm going to stop hearing all this. I am going to concentrate on you in my life, and I am going to get yoked with this church and with these believers, and I am going to progress, and I'm going to stop hindering the work of God. Confess your sins. Restore fellowship with Him. Make some commitments to be faithful as you should be concerning your walk with Him and His faithfulness to His church. It's not really that simple. It's about letting go and letting God take over your heart and your life instead of you trying to run it. Instead of you trying to fill your life with the things of you, fill it with Him. Allow Him to direct. Let Him be the one who directs the oxen. Let Him be the one that says, all right, team, let's go this way. And quit being the one that wants to go the other direction. Just say, Lord, I'm going to follow you from now on. But what if you're not saved? If you're not saved this morning, would you come to Jesus Christ? Would you come to Him as your Savior? You see, that is our purpose here today as a church, is to tell others about you, about your saving grace, your amazing grace. That's sometimes we lose focus here as a church, and we need to remember that there are those who, when they pass from this life, will die and go to an everlasting hell. They won't come to Jesus. They're not backslidden because they have never been yoked. And I believe that this morning, even though that I've not preached the typical salvation messages about you must be saved, I mean, showed you the way of salvation, I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God is dealing with your soul, and you know that you need to come to Him. You may not know exactly how or why or all these other things, but you know that God is speaking to your heart and saying you need to get right with God. And the first step in getting right with God is to know Him as your Savior. And so this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you pass from this life, then I suggest to you that you listen to that voice in your heart and you come to know Him as Savior today, for it's eternally too late. So as we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I do not know your heart. I do not know your life. I do not know you pretend to know what's wrong with you. I've got enough problems on my own to figure out what's wrong with me before I figure that out. But God knows. And God right now is the one speaking to you. He is the one that's saying, come be saved. He is the one saying, come and get right with me for, and the Lord can come. It's the thing what Paul said. God said to Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you always being contrary? Quit being contrary with God and let Him have your heart and your life today. Stop going the other direction. So as we sing this morning, this is your opportunity, your moment, in order to let God take control of your life. And that way you can go the right direction. Stop hindering the progress of the church. Stop hindering the progress of those around you who are watching you. And it'll stop hurting yourself in the process. So as we sing this morning, would you come and allow God into your heart and your life?